Welcome to Tales from the Fog. I'm your host, Casey, and with me, as always, is the amazing and wonderful Veronica. How are you doing today?
Hey, man. I can't hold it in. I'm really excited. I am well. How are you?
What are you so excited about?
Well, this guy made his way into our house, and we tried to get him to leave, and instead we ended up feeding him and talking to him for hours, and it's been quite pleasant. So I guess this would be a good time to introduce our guests of the podcast. We have with us... there would be an introduction would take an hour and a half. So I'm just going to tell you that Rick West is here with us today.
Yay. Hey, guys.
Hey, man.
Thank you, first of all, for dinner. That was really nice.
Oh, no problem.
It was really crazy because I don't live like that far away. It's like less than 40 miles, I think, from where I am.
Yeah.
But it takes 2 hours on the freeway because there's just too many damn people here.
Yeah.
So it was that's just such a weird dynamic in Southern California, right? Well, I guess anywhere where there's like a lot of people. But... you're very, very painfully aware that there's just way too many people when it's rush hour. It wasn't even rush hour. I left like at, 4 o'clock or whatever. It took 2 hours, you know, to get here. So it was great to get here and then have a nice dinner waiting when I got here and great conversation. So thank you guys so much.
And we took your shoes and we gave you your slippers and we gave you your house coat.
Right, that's right.
You had your pipe and your scotch.
Very nice.
We
very
try to be done. Good domestic partners.
Right? Yeah. Very, very nicely done.
So, well, Rick's here. So obviously we're going to be talking about Midsummer Scream 2018.
Wow. I hear it's going to be a good show.
I hear it is.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So is there anything that you're excited about, Veronica, you want to talk about?
So, I am a little biased toward the Hall of Shadows for some obvious reasons, and I'm really excited to see what's going to be going on in that area as far as, like, we know what's happening on one side. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a bunch of loud idiots sliding around on their hands and knees. But on the other side, I'm really curious about, because not only do you have a slew of vendors that are all going to be there, which is really new because usually they're out, you know, in which is basically like the bright sunlight. Yep. Here they're going to be... where it's dark, and they have mood lighting, and they've also got haunts, and they've got all this stuff. So I'm really curious to hear about what that experience is going to be like.
Yeah, so the story actually for Hall of Shadows this year begins in 2016. So in 2016 is when we did our first show, and that was in Hall A at the Long Beach Convention Center. Actually, the last 2 years have been in Hall A. And what we did is we took like a third of Hall A and we sectioned it off to make the Hall of Shadows, right? And that was a big operation when we did that.
Yeah.
We took this big black curtain that was literally almost as long as a football field and about 25 feet tall and lifted that up onto a truss.
It was an epic.
Which is crazy,
thing to watch.
Right? And I always, you know, I probably have joked on your show about it. It was really easy, simple idea to come up with, really expensive to execute that. It was a really expensive idea. But we did it and it was great. Yeah. You know, Hollow Shadows served its purpose. It was great. So, but the first year, it was probably during loadout. Maybe it was a walkthrough before. But anyway, I peeked my head into Hall B, which is next to A, because A, B. And see, it's sectioned off by an air wall, though.
Yeah.
So you can't really see it. But I poked my head in, and the lights were off, and it was dark. And I was like, oh. Because, like, at that point, you're, like, thinking down the road, right? And I'm like, oh, maybe that one of these days is Hall of Shadows. You know, it's all, you know. And the air walls make it nice and dark. Mm-hmm. Right, so much darker than the curtain with the truss. So, year one came and went. Year two came, and we stayed in A. And we really the challenge with year two in 2017 was where the main theater was going to be, because as you do conventions, you learn very quickly that even though you're a good little customer, there are other things that go on and that book these convention centers. So as a team that creates these events and conventions, you don't get to choose your footprint completely all the time. And so we never had the Grand Ballroom for last year again, which is why we made our switch over to the Terrace.
Right.
Terrace Theater was great. Terrace Theater is a 10-minute walk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From the main thoroughfare and the rest of the convention center. So that was kind of our focus, though, was like we focused a lot of firepower on trying to make that as cohesive as possible. So rather than expand Hall of Shadows or anything like that, we really focused on programming as far as that goes. Mm-hmm. And we had some great things in the theater. It just unfortunately is like that's the trek to Mordor, right?
Yeah.
That's not a casual, oh, look, there's a big line up there. Let's go up there.
It went from being like, hey, there's a panel that I probably want to see to being like, I know I want to see that, so I'll make the walk.
Yes. Yeah. Otherwise, not so much. Yeah. And unfortunately, you know, we learned that that was the case. And there were some things in there that weren't as well attended as we really thought they should be or they should have been. And that was the reason. I mean, that was the reason.
Yeah.
So we made it very clear that we wanted to be back in the Grand Ballroom, excuse me, this year, which is where we are. That's where our main stage is this year. We've doubled the capacity in there. So it's a 2,000 seat theater this year.
Yeah,
and it's great stuff. So we didn't get Hall A, though, with the footprint this year. And we're like, hang on a second.
So that's
our home
choice?
Base. That was not our choice.
Oh, okay.
And so we... So David said very early on, well, we've got Hall B and C. And I was like, well, I've never seen Hall C. And which, strangely enough, is next to B because A, B, C. And but it's kind of like a weird, you can't get there from here type of thing. Like you have to go through B to get into C, or you have to go way out by the Hyatt. And there's like a, I guess it's, another outdoor. Yeah, and it's just like
lobby, it's like its thing. Own thing. It's like a fancy.
It's a weird,
it looks like Las Vegas.
It's a weird type of thing, right?
Yeah. You go outside the area. It's like, oh, I'm like in one of those weird malls in a Las Vegas hotel.
Like an indoor outdoor look. Yeah.
Yeah. So I hadn't seen it, and so David said, "Well, it's large. It's almost the same size ish of Hall A. A little bit smaller, but it's still like 80,000 square feet. It's big, and." So, long story short, because we got a lot to cover, out of the blue, like David kind of said, hey, maybe Hall of Shadows is in C and Vendors are in B. And I'm like, oh. Because like for 2 years, I had been jonesing for B to be the Hall of Shadows.
So how did that thought process go? Because you could fit a lot more vendors in C.
Yes, you can.
But so what was the deciding factor in putting Hall of Shadows there?
I think the deciding factor, I think the deciding factor is because Hall of Shadows, and we'll get into this more, Hall of Shadows is so unique to Midsummer. It's a major component.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In a lot of cases, and I'm not just saying this because it's like my baby, but it's one of the main reasons that a lot of people go is to see what's going on in the Hall of Shadows.
It's those haunts.
It's the haunts. Yeah. It's the live entertainment. It's you guys. I mean, it's everything that goes on in the hall. People that it's become a destination.
Definitely.
Like people that are hardcore fans, they know now what the Hall of Shadows is.
And they stay there for a long time.
Sure. Absolutely. And so I think the thinking was we could just do a lot in here. And then, of course, there was David said, well, you know, we could also overflow some vendors into the Hall of Shadows. And that's where I was like, wait, what? You know, wait a minute now.
Now you're encroaching on me.
Suddenly you got encroaching on me. But so what we did decide, though, was, we could have vendors in there, but they have to be handpicked to fit within the Hall of Shadows.
Right.
So no booths with bright lights. You want to have props that are maybe in their ambient lighting. You want to have masks that light up. You want to have vendors that are really going to be at home in the Hall of Shadows. And everything that had down lighting, I think each of the booths has like 2 15-watt bulbs or something that are positioned facing down. I was assured that there wouldn't be any like this light spill.
The light pollution.
Like when you're driving to Vegas across the desert and suddenly there's this big bright light glowing on. I was like, I don't want that in the hall. When you're in the hall, it's dark. It's got to be dark.
So we can't use the Luxor light.
No, no light beams. No,
oh, crap.
Nope, none of that. That'd be kind of a cool trick. But anyway, so I was like, okay, well, let's just go with C. And we kind of like agreed on this as a group before I even saw Hall C.
Wow.
Right? So we went down then because for some reason I couldn't do like the very first walk. I don't remember exactly how it went, but I didn't get to see it until we had decided that that was going to be the Hall of Shadows. I was like, okay, that's cool. And so I went down and I walked into the hall. And you guys remember I posted that picture of me with that big black expanse behind me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was like the first time I had seen it. And I walked in and I was like,
I remember the
first
time.
This is really big.
Yeah.
And I panicked a little bit. I was like, this is really big.
Like, what are you going to put in there?
Yeah. And I'm like, this is more than just a few haunts.
It's one of those things where, like, when we walked through in it the first time on the last walkthrough, it's almost like you get that vertigo feeling, but horizontally.
It's big.
Like, you just see how big it expands in front of you, and you're just like, wow.
Well, like, we were joking, like, you could fit a theme park in here. Like, you genuinely could fit a theme park in there.
It's pretty gnarly.
It's gigantic. It's almost unfathomable. It's just very expansive.
So I'm walking through there going, so people know that I'm tied to this. And I'm like, if it's not awesome and it sucks,
oh man,
that's my ass, kind of. It's like, you know, you're only as good as your last show, right?
So that kind of forces you to level up in a way that would have been natural anyway. Like, it was at that point where it was ready to grow and, you know, kind of go from...
Well, B would have been a nice growth spurt for me, but I mean, we went straight to C.
An extra 40,000 square feet. Oh my God.
And it's huge. It's really big. Yeah. There was that moment of panic where I was like, oh, I don't know. I don't know if we're going to fill this. I mean,
I think it's what do we do here? Insane to have that fear.
Yeah.
If you just went in assuming that it would be fine, it may not be as robust as it's going to be.
Yeah.
But because you went in there, you know, hitting the ground running, you're like, this has to be amazing. And you made sure that you were ahead of that and ended up putting more stuff in there. Maybe now it's even going to still seem crowded.
Well, the last thing you want to do when you're creating a show is create something that, number one, is sparse, looks sparse, and then when no one shows up, it's even more sparse.
Yeah.
You just don't want that to happen.
No.
And luckily, you know, we're very blessed in that we have an amazing team, and that has not ever happened to us in the 6 years that we've been producing shows. And so we're like, okay, well, we're going to do this. So the first thing that I did was tell our haunters who were on board and coming on board, because that's one of my deals. I wrangle the haunts that are going to be in there. In the past 2 years, we did 20 by 20 space, right? Because we only had X amount of showroom A, hall A. And this year I said, look, we are blessed with size, so as long as you don't kill yourselves, and as long as you can deliver, you can go as big as you want. And every haunt in there is like well beyond 20 by 20. I mean, there are some big, big haunts
that are coming in there.
That's fantastic.
It's pretty gnarly. Yeah. And then we have you guys. The K Brigade's going to come back. Of course, you have the runway like last time. Mm-hmm. Expanded viewing area on both sides, so it's not bottlenecked. So that'll be great. Yep.
That would be nice.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
Multiple points of
entry
there, so you're not forced to cut through anything.
And there are, and so going into Hall of Shadows, there is one main entry, and we'll talk about that in a second. There is the main entry with the big facade and everything, but there are two others also. There's one kind of towards the back, kind of like if you go to where, well, you're not going to know because you don't know the map, but in the back of the in the back of the show floor is a section we call Cafe Elvira. Yeah. And so that's where Cassandra Peterson's going to be the weekend. And surrounding her are all the different vendors that have her license that are selling like her Elvira stuff.
Cool.
And then there's a food place back there that we're renaming actually Cafe Elvira. So it'll be a whole little thing back there. And then also further around, there is one more entry point into that weird like hallway thing.
You said
that. And so there will be 3 points of entry into the Hall of Shadows. So the circulation will be good. There are no bottlenecks that we can foresee at this point in the plan. But yeah, I mean, so going into the Hall of Shadows, one of the earlier questions was, you know, what's the theme going to be as far as the facade? So Cow Haunts, which is an amazing group of home haunters.
They are.
Yes.
They're so badass. They last year did our Sleepy Hollow entry portal. And... so the question was, well, what's it going to be this year? So Diane Meyer and Preston, we sat and had dinner and we talked about different ideas that their group had. And I said, well, we like this and this and this. And I said, look, this is also something that we're kind of thinking, not making it like an absolute centerpiece, but this year is the 200th anniversary of Mary Shelley's Frankenstein.
Oh.
So we are kind of, that is kind of the common thread that is weaving its way through the show. And... Diane and Preston, they kind of lit up at that. They're like, oh. And so a few months later, we can say that the entrance to Hall of Shadows is going to be a beautiful, big, gothic Frankenstein's castle, which is going to be awesome. They're building, like, these huge, ridiculous, like, 12-foot turrets, you know, and
oh, that's
it's not just a facade though, right? There's gonna be like a room.
Once you go inside, you're gonna have the laboratory and monsters, and there's a part of it that's kind of a walkthrough, or you can continue straight through to the vendors that are in there. Yeah.
That's super cool.
There's gonna be we already have Cal Haunts people that are actually gonna be put in makeup so they could actually scare guests and do their thing.
How fun.
So it's almost like another mini haunt.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, really,
it's
like
it's the mini haunt scare zone.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Yeah. So awesome. that's the entry portal experience. And then you do come into where I want to say it's more exhibitors than vendors. Yes, there are vendors, but we also have things that are going on in there. We'll get into this too, but like Warner Brothers was just announced today. We announced that this morning, just hours ago. We announced Warner Brothers, Studio Tour Hollywood is going to be coming in, working with us on things. They're bringing props from The Conjuring and from It, and that's where, right in that first immediate area of the hall, that's where those things are going to be on display.
Awesome.
So you are going to see cool stuff like that. And then beyond that, we actually, for the first time in the hall, have a performance stage, which will be fun. So we're going to have magicians up there. We're going to have Mud the Magnificent's going to be in there. Twirly, if you're familiar with Twirly, she's going to be up doing her weird, bizarre clown type thing that she does.
Yeah.
And we're going to have like the horror lingerie type thing, which, you know, everybody complains about. And so it's going to be really fun. We're going to have all sorts of cool programming up on that stage for the day. But we've thought it all out, you know, very directional sound system. So it doesn't, you know, there will be some sound soup because it's just that's the way it is.
Yeah.
Plus thousands of people in there. Mm-hmm. But it's not going to be like overbearing. Like the sliding show, but
it is quite overbearing. That's right.
We do plan that. Yeah. So there will not be anything running on that stage when you guys are. We're aware of this,
and that's a learning curve that you had to go through because you didn't know. I mean, and we didn't know how loud the show had to be so that everyone could hear it, and then how annoying it was for everybody else who wasn't enjoying the show to have to carry on with their business. With that monstrous noise
cloud. Sure, it is a learning curve, and we think we've got it pretty good down at this point. But so going from the vendor-ish, stage-ish area of Hall of Shadows, which will all be dark. I mean, the whole entire room, the lights are turned off.
Which is almost a bummer because no one's actually really going to know how big that room is.
It's expansive. So then for the first time ever, we have a major theme park, which is Six Flags Magic Mountain. They're going to have a full-on Fright Fest scare zone that you have to go through to get into where the haunts are.
Which is awesome. Now, did they approach you about doing it, or did you guys approach them?
We approached them. So months out, we sit down with all the theme parks and talk about ideas and throw things out to them. Uh-huh. And you know, Six Flags has been amazing with Midsummer Scream. And so our partners at Team Magic, hey, Team Magic, they jumped on. They were like, oh, hell yeah, we want to do something like that. So they were very enthusiastic about doing that. So that's the first time we're ever going to have. I mean, the first year we had Toxicity, which Larry Bones did.
Yeah.
And that was just kind of an elongated throat, you know, that you went down. And there were props and monsters, and Larry did an amazing job.
The
Boneyard people with that. This is going to be more like when you're at Magic Mountain at Fright Fest and you wander through one of their scare zones. This is what it's going to be like. So you're going to have monsters coming at you from every direction. There will be some scenic in there. It's going to be really great. And then
are they theming it in any particular way? Or
I don't even know if we've like announced it. It's going to be tied into what they are announcing as part of their presentation.
Oh, all right.
Oh, okay.
So see how that works, how cool that is. So it's kind of a preview. It's going to be kind of so the scare zone is kind of a preview of what they are going to be talking about.
That's
awesome. Yeah, one of the things they're going to be talking about. Yeah.
So to the mazes that are going to be there, are they going to also have booths in other places, or is their only presence going to be in their venue that they built?
Cal Haunts is going to have an area outside the Hall of Shadows. You guys, and you're not Haunts, I know, but you guys are going to have a booth for your merchandise. Mm-hmm. We're going to go with no, Veronica.
Because I imagine, I know the smaller haunts may not, but I know some of them, like Six Flags, would have merchandise and things like that. Like, isn't there a place where they
so Six Flags is going to have, they have a weird presence. Not like bad weird, but they have a weird, they're like kind of, in multiple places. Mm-hmm. They're also going to have a place where, like, they've been on our show floor the past 2 years, right? Yeah. So wherever their satellite place is going to be, they're going to also, they're doing, like, photo ops. You're going to, like, one of their greatest monsters, like, the greatest monster, Innocence, which everyone loves her. Mm-hmm. She's the zombie that moves very slowly.
Yeah.
She's kind of like the face of Fright. I mean, that's the character that I think of.
Yeah.
She's actually going to be at a photo op that they're going to bring in.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Because awesome. She never stops for, you know, to take pictures with people, and she's going to be there.
Oh, we got to get the team over there to take
live in the rotten flesh, cool. taking pictures with people. So, so we're really excited about that.
That's awesome.
The other haunts, no, I think that if they have anything to hawk or to push or whatever, they're going to do it right there as part of their footprint. So it's but really the haunts that are there this year are really there just like as haunts, just to kick ass, cool. and they're going to be great. So exciting. I think we have like, I think the count is like, it's like 14 walkthroughs.
I counted 15, but one of them's like a yard display.
Wicked Pumpkin Hollow is a yard display, which is going to be really great. If anybody got to see it last Halloween or any Halloween, she's done it for years in the Valley. It's great. It's just, it's a creepy, it's like a cornfield type thing with props and everything and bales of hay and just really intricately carved, really cool pumpkins with fog flowing.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
And it's great.
So much artistry there. I can't wait to see it.
Melissa does a great job with that. And that's just, so that is our one display that we have this year.
And then we got, Sinister Point's Boogeyman Express Bar. So is this a real bar?
It's a bar.
Can get actual drinks?
I'm telling you, yes. We're going to have two. So we're going to have two themed bars. We're going to have one on the show floor, which is going to be part of our expanded Slashback video.
Which I'm super excited to see.
Yeah, people love that. When they saw that at Halloween and then before, after that, people were like, wait, what was that? Well, it's coming back again. Bigger and better than it was in Burbank. It's going to be amazing.
Wait, I like that. The fact that you just mentioned that there are going to be two bars
two
at this
bars.
Venue was just like
there'll
a throwaway sentence for you.
There's
like,
more than two.
Because there's more than two, but there are two themed bars.
Yes.
I'm usually kind of in my own little world. Is this new for Midsummer Scream to have a bar at the venue?
No. We had them last year.
I missed it.
Yeah. I think they had them on Sunday the year. So
you didn't
it was
have
really,
a themed bar, though.
No, we haven't had a theme.
So there wasn't like a destination.
They roll it out. So it's okay, all done. So the convention center does all that.
All right.
Yeah.
They decide usually when and where they're going to put the bars.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's kind of like that's their deal. Gotcha. And it was kind of funny. It was a learning curve for them too, because we said, you know, year one, we were like, there's going to be a lot of people here. And they're like, okay. And they're like, no, but it was just like minimal food and beverage.
They ran out of pizzas.
And the first day, and they're like, oh shit, there are a lot of people here. And I was like, we told you,
We gave you
and so the next day we saw some more bars show up, and then definitely like the next year, then there were bars. And And so this year, and they're being really cool about letting us theme them. So Slashback Video is on the show floor. And then inside the Hall of Shadows, Sinister Point is going to be, and it's cool because it's like a giant, big black box that has a big Sinister Point wrap on it.
Yeah.
And for the theming and things like that, you got to go inside to see what they're doing.
That's pretty cool. It's like a mystery box.
Yeah.
And we know that they are really good at theming, especially when it comes to detailed
Jeff
stuff.
And his team are great. Yeah. They're awesome. And it's going to be wonderful. And I'll have to go in there a lot, for quality control.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
And to get a break from the noise, to be surrounded by more noise.
Yeah. No, it's going to be great. So we're really excited about that.
Are any of them doing a Rick West or Midsummer Scream themed drink?
You know, we haven't gotten that far. So like last year,
that's a good question.
Last year, I think that we did have. My God, I think we did have a couple drinks that were themed, with names that we fed out. But we haven't even done that. Yeah.
So they need to come up with the Jawa.
Oh, that's right. The Mighty Jawa.
They need the Mighty Jawa. And they need to have something.
We'd probably call that the Black Cat, though,
the
right?
Black Cat.
The Black
but
Cat.
But they've already got the Black Cat Lounge, which I know is
well,
skipping
there's
ahead
there's like 20,000 people that don't know who the hell Jawa is. So it's one of those things. Now, I'm biased.
I really like catering to very small groups
of people.
There you
go. It would be a very small group of people. But a very dedicated
everybody
group.
Everybody that is on Periscope will really love that
a very dedicated group
I like
group
to
of
reward
people, right?
those who put in the extra effort and learn that little bit of extra something.
Yeah. Yeah, so the hall is looking really great. It's one thing I did want to talk about really quick that is very interesting to me as somebody that's been around haunts for a long time. we have two home haunters. We have Sam Kelman and we have Aurora Persichetti. They are doing two really anticipated mazes. We have Sam doing the Donnie Darko experience, and we have Aurora who's doing the Trick or Treat fan maze based on the film. Both of them are very young haunters. Aurora just turned 21, and Sam is the ripe old age of 15.
Wow.
And so the stuff that these guys do is so above the curve, so far ahead of the curve, that I'm actually on Sunday going to have a panel talking about next generation haunters with the two of them. And I'm going to sit and we're going to talk for an hour about what the hell's wrong with you? Why are you so talented? You know, why are you so damn creative at this early age? And where in the hell are you going? Because this, we are literally looking right at the next John Murdy, John Cook. We are looking at the next.
Yeah.
The next generation of haunters. Absolutely. And I think it's very important to talk about. But it is very interesting that the two youngest haunters in the hall are both have gone IP. And it's kind of indicative because, you know, we see these people growing up in theme parks where every attraction now is based on IPs.
Yes. Yeah.
So they're pulling from what they know, from what they've learned in themed entertainment and bringing it to their own, you know.
Yeah.
No longer is it just enough to do Uncle Ernie's Gore Shack, you know, type of thing. It's got to be, it's going to be Donnie Darko. It's going to be Trick or Treat. And the fact that they do them really, really well.
Yeah.
Like, better than a lot of, quote unquote, adult longtime haunters. These guys, the stuff that they've done is just mind-blowing. And so I'm really excited. I'm excited to have everybody in the hall. But to see these two just really kick ass is going to be really exciting. I know that Universal, I've had several talks with people at Universal Creative. They're all very well aware of Aurora's trick-or-treat maze, and they're all coming to look at it. And so it's an exciting time for the haunters because, you know, they got special eyeballs on it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's a time to shine. And you know what? They're going to do so well. It's going to be so, so good.
And it's beneficial for them. They have the experience, and they are basically pre-building their haunt.
They're doing it right now. They've been doing it. Oh, yeah.
And then set it up and then tear it down in, you know, perfect order so that it can just be popped right back up before the season starts.
Yeah. That's what all of our participants are doing right now.
It's perfect.
Is they're prepping their haunts. A lot of them are on social media showing us pictures and videos and everything. Yeah. And it's just, it's really exciting. And God, we're so grateful that they're just into it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, they have that extra blessing of now they have something earlier in the year to aim for.
Sure.
So it makes it okay to be thinking about their haunt in November of last year.
Yeah.
It kind of justifies that mindset that we all three have, and, you know, our listeners and your fans, like, they're all think about haunt all the time. Or a haunt all the time.
Yeah.
And this completely justifies it, and it's beautiful.
It is. It's great. And we couldn't be more proud of all of our haunters. And just love them all to death. They've really become part of, they are obviously pillars in the community, but they have really become part of the Midsummer family. And that to us is very special.
It wouldn't be the same without them.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
So let's talk about panels.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot.
There are a lot of panels.
And the problem for all of you guys that are listening is they all overlap each other.
We are evil, evil bastards in that we make sure our philosophy, even so, there are going to be some people listening to your show that don't know what my background is with these shows.
Yeah.
So I was part of the original team that created Scarolay. And so for the first 3 years, when Scarolay was very, very popular and up and coming, we were part of the production team of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we went over that, I think, a little bit when you were with us last year.
I'm sure. Yeah.
I think we went.
Yeah. So very open about that. And so there was an internal shift, rhymes with rift, what? And like 90% of us created Midsummer Scream out of necessity. Mm-hmm. And so Midsummer Scream has grown bigger and better than we could have ever grown Scarolay. And we just took everything that we had learned for the first 3 years and just applied it and embiggened it. Mm-hmm. And it's been incredibly successful because all the theme parks came with us. I mean, everybody was just so right on about our vision for what we wanted to do. They were like, of course, we're going to follow you into the trenches. We'd do whatever. And it was really great. And so, oh my God, what was the question?
We're talking about the panels.
We're not even drinking panels. Okay, no. Jesus, I haven't even had a drink.
It's vodka.
It's Stoli water. So the panels and presentations, that is also a huge component of the show, as well as the other breakout room things and everything that we do. What we have done and what we did back in the, this is where I was going.
Yeah.
Back in the day when we created Scarolay, one of the things that we did, and definitely going into Midsummer because we have a bigger venue and a lot more options, is you never want anybody walking around halfway through day two going, Well, I don't know. I've already done everything. What do you want to do again? No, I don't know. I didn't.
Yeah.
You'd never want that.
Oh, no.
You never want people to buy a weekend pass and say, I only needed one day. You know,
yeah.
If you do that, then you have no business creating shows. I mean, because you want people to leave. You want the same frustration. Like if you went to Walt Disney World and you had 2 days, right? You're not going to see a hair of anything. I mean, you're just going to get little bits and pieces, right?
Yep.
So we want people leaving Midsummer Scream every year going, oh my God, I had to make some really hard decisions. I didn't get to see that. You know, we will take that night and day over. We've already seen everything. Well, let's just go across the street and drink.
Yeah.
We never will allow that to happen. And we've talked about the possibility of eventually adding a third day or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? The third day will be just as packed. So it's not going to alleviate any of that. It's going to make it more maddening and more exhausting.
Yeah. So, and more expensive for everyone.
Yeah, yeah. So we just, you know, it's one of those things where, yes, we very purposely program. We program the shit out of it because you never want your lame, you don't want Sunday to be the lame duck. Well,
no,
these were
no,
all
Sunday
of our,
has some amazing.
These
cards.
Were all of our second, you know, second rate ideas.
Yeah.
Let's just put them on Sunday because nobody comes anyway. No
well,
way.
That's the
well, let me.
Yeah, of course it is on conventions. Of course.
Yeah.
I'll just read you guys off the panels that you're going to have to choose between.
Ooh, go ahead.
All right. So on Saturday, we're starting off with a bang with the Not Scary Farm panel right out of the gate.
Wow.
Then we're going to do the Hollywood Goes Immersive, which is all about the Hollywood production teams that are using immersive.
For marketing, theater, right?
For marketing.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that was, we were talking about
overlapping
that.
With that is the 30th anniversary panel of Elvira.
Aww.
Overlapping with that is the Epic Home Haunts panel.
Oh.
Overlapping with that is the Six Flags Fright Fest panel. Then you have the Shockwave Podcast Live with Tom Holland as the guest.
Oh, man.
And then rounding it all out, you have BuzzFeed Unsolved panel.
BuzzFeed's going to be there?
Yeah.
I feel like you told me that before.
I think I did.
And I was equally surprised.
And then on Sunday, we're starting off with Trapped Unlocked, which is going to show the very first video footage of the Trapped maze at Knott's.
Yep.
So cool.
First time ever.
Overlapping with that is the Queen Mary Dark Harbor panel.
Oh, no.
Then we have the, actually a really cool panel that sounds really awesome. It's the LGBTQ in horror panel. So it's all about how the community is represented in horror.
Oh, wow.
Which is really awesome.
That is awesome.
But overlapping with that is the Warner Brothers studio panel, which Rick talked about
earlier. Which we just announced.
Overlapping with that is the Hocus Pocus panel.
Oh, my gosh.
And then we have the Immersive Horror, New Trends Outside the Box. And then ending the Sunday panels is the Universal Studios Halloween Horror Nights panel.
So
you guys have a lot of tough choices to make.
And I think, who am I? So I'm on Sunday. Did you get me in there? It's the Next Gen Haunters one?
Yeah.
Who am I overlapping with?
You're overlapping with the Warner Brothers Studio panel and the Hocus Pocus panel. You're smashed in between them on the other stage.
See, I got myself.
Wow. So you're gonna have to be late to your panel
myself.
And leave early
See?
For your panel.
See, man, I'm telling you.
Welcome to the party, man.
Cruel, cruel bastard.
So, what about
we are.
Bizarre States? Aren't they doing something?
They weren't on the calendar yet, so I don't know if they've been the time slot has been scheduled.
Or are they doing?
There are some
or are they doing
gaps.
Something else?
There's some gaps on the calendar which may not be up yet.
Okay.
They're on there as announced and. Doing something, but they're not on the calendar.
That is one component. That particular brand. That's one thing that I don't deal with.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm sitting here like being stupid and quiet because I don't deal with that group at all.
That's the magician Johanna.
So Johanna does that. David Marquin deals with that a lot. Yeah. We also have and at the same time of all the let's talk about panels.
Okay.
Right. So we have the theme parks.
Yes.
Doing their thing, which is always great. Warner Brothers, which we just announced this morning. So Warner Brothers has the Horror Made Here. You know, they've done this at the lot there in Burbank, but not a lot of people know about it because it's been kind of under the radar.
Yeah.
And people that have been, and I've not even been. So people that have been say, it's really freaking legit.
I have heard some good stuff.
I thought it was a special event. I didn't know that it was open to the public.
We wanted to do it last year. We kind of ran out of time, and also tickets were, I think they were like $69 a person. I heard they're lowering the price this year, which is a good starting point.
Well, we were also in Coffin Creek, so we didn't do a lot of things.
Well, yeah, you run a haunt, you're done for October, right? So, which is why I've never run a haunt, because I'm a little busy during October.
Yeah.
But, so we announced it, so Warner Brothers, is one of those things where we wanted them last year when we knew that they had the It promo bus. We really wanted them. and it was just too late in the game. They had already planned all their scheduling.
Yeah.
And so we just didn't get them. But we've been talking to them since. And literally, I mean, we went, I want to say maybe 2 months ago, we went and we had a really great sit-down meeting on the lot with them and kicked out all these ideas. And we said, well, we know for a fact we want you to do an amazing presentation on our main stage. And they're really excited because they're very, very new to this.
Yeah.
You know, you've got Knott's that's done it for 973 years, right? And then you have these guys that are less than 5 years, you know, into the Halloween stuff.
That's
you
incredible. Know? But and then they're newbies. Has been around
of
yeah.
course,
so
but
long.
They're giants in the industry.
And yeah. when they started, I think the first 2 years was literally just kind of their normal studio tour, but they just went to locations where they filmed
kind of spooked
horror
it up
movies.
A little bit. Yeah. And yeah. last year they had the mazes, right? They had the, mm-hmm. some walkthrough mazes. And this year I know they're greatly expanding on this. I really think what's going to happen is they're going to start to go head-to-head with Horror Nights. I think that that is probably their end game.
That yeah. would be ridiculous well, to from have two the, studios
amazing,
head-to-head.
Right?
From the production quality yeah. that I saw on YouTube of their mazes, they were right up there with Universal. I
oh, mean, yeah. Some well, that's what they do. They're a movie studio, right?
Budget,
yeah.
They've got the resources.
They're a movie studio.
Yeah.
So they can't, so we talked to them, and they were hesitantly excited, and I say hesitantly, not anyway. It's because they've never done anything like this.
They just don't know yet.
They have no idea the love they're going to get when they take
so
to the stage.
I think their panel is going to be like the dark horse. They're just going to be so surprised
Dude,
how packed.
I would place bets on that.
Yeah.
I would place bets on that. They're going to bring it, and they're going to. They announced a lot of stuff. They just had a press release last week announcing that they're returning and that it's expanded, and they named some of the stuff they're going to do.
Yep,
and. They are saving quite a bit, though, to announce at Midsummer Scream, which is really flattering for us, and it's exciting for us, and it's such great synergy.
Mm-hmm.
And they're feeling it. They're really excited. And after it happens, then they're going to be like, okay. Oh, hopefully they're going to be like, okay, Midsummer 19, let's start talking, you know.
Yeah.
Hopefully they understand the synergy, because this is like ground zero of the fan community, mm-hmm. you know, Midsummer. And so... Up and beyond that, though, they really wanted to be part of like Hall of Shadows.
Yeah.
So we talked about, well, what do you do? Do you do do you install a walkthrough? I mean, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
And of course, that's all very expensive for them because they've got to have their studio personnel then do that.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Suddenly that becomes, it again, it's a cheap, easy idea. Hey, why don't you do a walkthrough? You know,
yeah, but they're union.
But then it's like,
so
well, let's see, well, it's union guys, and yeah. we got to move everything over there.
And
then you only have 2 days to install.
Actors.
Yeah, yeah. So it's one. Yeah,
makeup,
so it's
yeah.
it's a whole thing that just is a ripple effect. That it's very expensive to do that,
and it's time. It costs a lot of time.
Sure,
they're gonna have to start now to get 2019 rolling.
So it's one of those things. But they did say we're going to figure out what we're going to do because we do want to be in Hall of Shadows.
Yeah,
which was very exciting for us. So we left that meeting like, yay, you know, walking through the back lot going, this is amazing, you know. And so here we are 2 months later. The announcements have been made and we couldn't be happier to have Warner Brothers Studio Tour Hollywood with
so
us.
That is so incredible.
Yeah, I'm excited to check it out this year.
Oh, man, it's going to be great. I'm super pumped about that. So then we have also then, you know, Scary Farm's going to present. Magic Mountain's going to present. Queen Mary, they're going to present, of
yep.
course.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Horror Nights. I think maybe two or three people will be excited for Horror Nights.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's going to be packed house, of course.
Yeah.
That stuff is really good. And then, of course, we have the Hocus Pocus 25th.
Which a lot of people are excited for.
People are really excited about that. So that's another thing.
Did you say that Thora Birch is going to be there?
Yep. Yeah, we just confirmed
gracious.
Her. Yeah, so this is funny because so a lot of the things that even though we announce it, you know, just a few months out, a lot of these things people don't realize when we're creating these events, a lot of this stuff has been going on for a long time in the planning stages. And so Hocus Pocus has actually been on our radar for a couple of years. And we're like, well, this has got to be go time because this is the 25th anniversary, right?
Yeah.
And so one of our good friends, Jeff DePauli, he does Disney Coast to Coast podcast. He's a huge Hocus Pocus just freak. And he was just like throwing himself at us saying, you have to let me moderate the panel. I'll do anything. I want to moderate this panel, you know? And so we gave it to Jeff and we said, you know, we're going to be reaching out to people. You reach out to people too.
Mm-hmm.
And then loop us in so we can all keep on the same page. And Jeff has just been a go-getter and he's gone out and he's really, really put this panel together.
It's amazing.
Wow,
and
so he did the legwork to get
so
everyone to
Jeff
come?
Has done a shit ton of the legwork. And
wow.
You guys got to go in the theater and give him love because he is just, he's really going to knock it out of the park, I'm
sure.
Is
he even going to remember any of it? His brain is going to be buzzing so hard that whole time.
It's pretty amazing,
it's
going right?
to be a blur.
Yeah, it is pretty crazy. From somebody who's been on those big panels, you know, yeah. if I, like last year I did Twilight Zone Tower of Terror, we did that. Mm-hmm. It is a blur. And then you go back and you listen then finally to, you know, the podcasts that have it, or you watch it on video and... Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's
so
how you experience that the whole thing.
Yeah. That's how I experience the whole thing. Well, you guys too, because you're doing shows.
Yeah.
But for me, it's the entire weekend. When you finally get there, the entire weekend is such a blur. And I think I probably even said this last time on your show. I literally spend the next couple months experiencing Midsummer Scream mm-hmm. through podcasts, through videos, because even though I'm anywhere and everywhere, I rarely see like anything.
Yeah.
The only thing that Hall of Shadows last year, I made it through, I think, two, maybe three of the haunts last year.
Oh, man.
Right? And that's my baby. Yeah. And I love that stuff. So I made it through maybe two or three of the haunts. And the only panel presentation that I saw was when Ted Doherty, when we talked about this, when Ted and I, we created this Not the Haunt 45 presentation. Yeah. Very early on when Ted and I were talking about this, he was like, dude, so you're going to sit and watch this? And I was like, oh my God, wait a minute. That's the end of the show. That's like that's the end of the show on Sunday. I'm going to be like walking around closing down Hall of Shadows and stuff. And he's like, dude, you've got to watch some of it. And I'm like, oh my God. So you know what? When it came time to that, I was like, you know, first and foremost, we're all fans.
Yeah.
This is never going to happen again, this Haunt 45 panel. And I said, you know what? This is how I'm ending my Midsummer Scream. And so for 90 minutes, I was unreachable, and I sat there and watched the entire 90-minute presentation. And that is a luxury that any of us are rarely afforded. And I was just kind of like, I'm doing this.
Yeah.
I'm doing this for me. Because this is the one panel that I really, really want to see and will feel forever horrible if I don't witness.
I mean, isn't it in a way the reason that everything that we love so much that it even exists?
Of course.
Is because of everything that happened in that 90 minutes.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I thought, no way I'm missing this. There's just no way I'm missing this. So, yeah, there are those moments. Hocus Pocus is going to be great. Even, you know, our Stage 2 presentations. Like, you know, Josh Quillen is doing Epic Home Haunts, which everybody is so excited about.
Yeah.
This is the haunt documentary. This is the haunt documentary that everybody has been waiting for. This one is the real deal, and it is going to be so damn good. And he's teased it. He put the teaser up, which everybody loves.
Which is awesome,
He's going to show the first full-blown trailer at Midsummer, which is going to be great. Awesome. And then he's going to have two members from each of the four haunts that are represented in the documentary on stage talking to him about, you know, making this, you know, documentary.
That's
and
cool.
So it's going to be really great. That's going to be another just like must see panel. That's going to be really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, then like I said, I'm going to have my next gen haunters, you know, with Sam and with Aurora. Mm-hmm. That's going to be a really fascinating discussion. And there's a couple things that we haven't even announced yet. And they're just, it's just crazy pants. Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah. Fun.
So what about the show floor, the exhibitor floor? Is there anything out there that jumps out as something that's going to be memorable?
Knott's is creating a really big display.
They always create a big
Right?
display.
So last year was gnarly because they had the barn and all that stuff.
Yeah.
This year it's even bigger.
Wow.
This year it's even bigger. And, you know, logistically, I haven't, like, talked about, like, what I can talk about that they're doing. So I guess we'll keep it a secret. You're almost there. By the time you guys listen to this, you're just weeks away. You'll just have to come see. But no, it's really cool what they're doing, because it's not only display where you can meet monsters and things like that and take pictures. Operationally, it also is going to serve a purpose.
Oh, excellent.
For them, which is really, really great.
Good. So you're leveling it up to more than just a photo op.
Yes.
It's actually going to be a thing.
Yeah. It's going to be a thing. So that's really good. You know, like I said, we have the Cafe Elvira. Mm-hmm. section, which is towards the back of the show floor. That's going to be great. So Cassandra Peterson's going to be with us this whole weekend, which is really great. And she loves doing Midsummer. We love having her, and the fans love it. So it's a great mesh there. And so she's going to be surrounded by all the vendors that do her, you know, that have her licensing.
Mm-hmm.
So the jewelry, clothing, you know, likenesses, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's going to be there. So that's, we're really excited to have that. Dark Delicacies. We got a shout out to Dell. And so they're wonderful people. They've been fantastic supporters And they're going to have a great thing. Of course, Larry Bones is going to be there with Boneyard doing their thing. And then
he's
big
been
photo.
Really hitting the social
media. Hell yeah, he's been pumping that out, of course. So we love him and Cheryl, and having them there is really exciting. Coven FX, I mean, just the list goes on and on. We have over 250 vendors on the show floor, which that's a lot, right?
And each one of them brings something truly unique and special in their own perspective of what the haunt world
and
is.
Talk about... It's a little bit of a sidetrack, but two people who are now just blowing up to gigantic proportions. Sinister Point has their giant haunt coming. Yeah. But Larry Bones has like a whole little haunted theme park he's building with a bunch of mazes and stuff in there, which sounds amazing.
Yeah. No, it's really interesting to see the haunts. And we can maybe talk about this closer to Halloween time, just how these haunts are evolving. Yeah. And so they're it's gone from being the home haunts to the mom and pop haunts to now these big
like
box haunts, right?
Destination haunt or something.
It's like Best Buy and Walmart of haunts, where there's multiple haunts under one roof and, that type of thing.
But where else on planet Earth are you going to get a mom and pop tiny little haunt next door to
a big box haunt, right?
The biggest haunt you've ever seen in your life.
Southern California.
That's amazing.
That's it. And the theme parks we have, that's the reason that we exist and that's the reason that we are so successful is because this right here, I'm tapping the table. For you people listening. So this right here, Southern California, this is ground zero for Halloween, which is the reason that we've planted our flag here with Midsummer Scream. Yeah. Midsummer Scream, we could take it anywhere, really, in the United States because you're not locked in with your name.
Yeah.
And it would not be as successful as it is right here because not even Northern California goes all out for Halloween. Like we do right here in the greater Los Angeles area.
Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable, the amount of haunt and the variety of haunts.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's a whole other discussion that we'll have.
You got to come back.
But, that is absolutely why Midsummer is here and why it is so successful.
Hey, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to part one of our Midsummer Scream preview with Rick West. Tickets are still available at MidsummerScream.com, including just a few of those precious Gold Bat VIP tickets. So if you haven't purchased them yet, you can buy them at MidsummerScream.org. You can follow Tales from the Fog on Instagram and Facebook at Tales from the Fog. You can follow Veronica on Instagram at Veronica's Voices. And you can follow Midsummer Scream on Facebook and Instagram at Midsummer Scream. Part 2 of our Midsummer Scream preview will be released in 2 weeks. Until next time, we'll see you in the fog. Bye, guys.